All right, we are here. We are Galexis and welcome. Today we speak about busting free from the traps of the group mind. In your spiritual journey, in your remembrance of who you are and the return to divine union, to the oneness from whence you came, as part of your spiritual unfoldment, as far as your spiritual evolution, at some point you absolutely must step out of mainstream thinking. Now, you probably say, well, I've been there for years. Yes, you have. But we're not talking about being on the fringe, looking in, being outside the window, looking into all the people who are the most successful in your cultural cliques. We're not talking about people who have to march to the beat of the different drummer and endure the separation from the many, endure sometimes even loneliness, rejection, and isolation because of your orientation, being different away. We're not referring to all the times that you have wished somehow or another you could create your reality beautifully, marvelously, easily. And somehow or another, it just seems to keep coming up against the walls of consensus thinking. Sometimes it seems to you that your destiny is always to be on the outside somewhere. And yet, there is this tug, there is this grip on you, that regardless of how far you've detached yourself from the usual mainstream, limited thinking, regardless of how far out the box you are, you still feel trapped by the cultures, paradigms, by the orientations of others, by the media, by the way people think and feel. You still are plugged in to a huge energy field, a grid, if you will, of vibrations and frequencies. And of course, you know, on the planet right now, with the recession, with the economic downturns and slow recovery, all the economic stress and hardship, there's a lot of dark emotion floating around, a lot of people worried, a lot of people anxious, a lot of people angry, a lot of people depressed. And you're moving through this energy. Even if you are not at the center of the mainstream, even if you aren't the culture's celebrities in the center, in the spotlight, the adored one, the beloved one, you are feeling all these energies, these emotions, these worries, anxieties. Yes, there's some good stuff. There's hope. There's glimmers of beautiful people who are doing loving, caring things. You have a full range of vibrations, of energies, of possibilities, of thoughts and so forth going on at every given moment. Really huge, filled with all sorts of possibilities. However, you are still trapped by group mind because the possibilities, the ideas, all the creative flow that is there, all the focus upon being able to survive and to build a good life is there. Your possibilities, your personal possibilities are limited by what is available in this, you might call it, bubble that surrounds the earth. It doesn't matter what human society you're in, what your genetic background is, what culture you've grown up in. You're part of the group mind. It comes on you naturally when you're a child. And the insidiousness of the group mind is that it tells you what options you have available. It tells you what you can and cannot do. It tells you what your behavior should be. And reminds you that if you do not act correctly, you're going to get in trouble. Now, initially, of course, it's getting in trouble with your babysitter or your parents or whoever's taking care of you. But later on, it's getting in trouble with your peer group, feeling the sting of rejection, humiliation. And later on, to feel the rejection when you seek a job or to worry about where are you going to get enough support, where are you going to build your life. Now, the function of every human being, and actually underneath that drives that function, is the desire to have reality the way you want it. Now, a lot of people say, oh, you know, the real drives are to survive. Yeah. But as a human being, yes, you want to survive, but you want to survive in a way that's pleasing to you. You want to survive in a way that you would have the power of choice to shape your experience, to shape your circumstances the way you want them to be. You want your reality to be the way you want it to be. All your motivations, all your choices, everything is aligned towards your desire. If you have your reality moving along the way you like it, you feel safe and secure. You have survived. And while this is a wonderful, wonderful, comforting feeling, it never lasts because things continue. Evolution continues. And you need to go past safety, security. You need to go to higher levels. You need to fulfill higher needs. But all of it is part of you wanting your life the way you want it. You want to have the power to choose and to make the choices that will direct your life and your life circumstances in the direction you want it to go. But you keep hitting walls of the group mind. The group mind, all the thoughts, beliefs, and orientations of the human beings in your particular, well, first of all, it's in your species, but then within the particular parameters in which you live within that species group. In other words, your particular culture, and the culture that is unique and particular to your city that you live in, your particular network of friends, your peer group. You are given certain options. So you are given certain possibilities. They come with a group mind. For those few human beings who are capable of stepping outside the group mind and grabbing a new concept, envisioning something grander, something new, artists bringing in a new visual concept, a new cultural idea. These are the people that everyone else looks up to. You wonder, how in the world did they get outside or beyond the box? How did they get that access? Interestingly enough, as long as you obediently follow the dictates of the group mind, you get it stuck to you, pretty much. You have to stay within a very limited range of possibility. Yes, ironically, when you bust free of the trap of the group mind and reach beyond it, the group mind will champion you. Or they will put their attention, the group mind will put its attention on you. And if you are ready to receive, you can experience very high degrees of success. Now, admittedly, there are those people who saw beyond the group mind and were persecuted. Who was it that said that, you know, if Jesus were alive today, he would be put in an institution and given Prozac? Every culture has what it deems to be okay. You need to follow the rules. The rules. You need to stay as a good citizen, participate, develop yourself, do what you need to do. But don't step on toes. Don't aggravate people. Don't annoy people. Don't scare people. By the time you follow all the rules, where are you? You're in a little room, little box. So you wonder, how in the world do some people manage to do it? Well, let us tell you a little bit about the nature of group mind, how it functions, how it works. And then it'll start to become obvious, which of course we'll also point out, how to break free of that, how to be able to allow yourself to be more who you really are, and how to allow the group mind to support you. Why not you be the one celebrated? All right, the group mind. Now, there's a term for it. It's the thoughts of people, all this culture put together. It seems like it's very chaotic if you go and look at it, but no, it's organized along certain lines. It forms so much intense thought, it is almost creating an entity. You see, the way that you create your reality is through thought. And you put thought and belief together with intention and will, and it creates reality. Now, you did this in conjunction with your special friends and your group, what you might call your team or your crew, and you decide this before you come into physical experience. And you set it up. Well, you want to experience a lot of different things. That's why you have different lifetimes. Now, a group mind works the same way. It has intention and it has will. That comes with thought and belief melding together. It creates boundaries of possibility. The group mind is the various ways or the vehicles in which the beliefs and thoughts are carried to individuals is through what are called memes. Memes are units of organized, you might say, philosophy, organized approaches, perspectives that are shared amongst people. A most obvious meme, for example, is religion. Religion says, here are the rules, here's what you're supposed to be wanting, here's how you're supposed to behave, here's what you're going to get out of it. And depending on your religion, what happens when you die, what happens this way, that way, etc., and how God thinks about you. So religion will come with a whole set, a whole philosophical set for a person to follow. But you have memes that are just floating around in your culture. You've got corporations. Corporations that, in a sense, create their own kind of group mind and then put their own idea of reality through their own rules, through their own principles, through their own philosophies, and to their own memes. And so if you go to work for a corporation, you enter into a philosophy. You enter into a culture that is unique for that corporation. And the larger the corporation is, the more it becomes on its own a group mind, also known as a egregor. The term egregor is it's a metaphysical term, it's an occult term, about a group mind that becomes alive and it becomes almost like a fully functional created thing. A group mind, an egregor, has memes and coordinates these memes together. So you have a society in which you have religion and you have business, you have science, you have government, all the institutions have their structures, their ideologies in a sense, their ways of being, their rules, and their social structure. An egregor has, as a life of its own, it gets imbued with intention. Now, if you notice religion as a group mind, as a meme, has an intention to gain more adherence to its philosophy. A corporation looks to gain more customers for its products, and therefore adherence to its approach through the product, to something in life. Because there is an intention to self-perpetuate, all institutions, which are memes, and the group mind, which is a collection of memes, has, then it will feed on your energy. This is the part you feel when you feel tired after being out and about in traffic. You've been out in lots and lots of different energies. And what are those people in the traffic thinking, driving along in their car? What are they feeling? Are there a lot of happy people driving cars? It's a necessity to get from one place to another. If you want to get someplace, you got to get, you know, get in some kind of form of transportation and go there. And as you're going, you know, you're thinking and your mind is wandering as you're looking out the road. All of this free association, all of this thinking, the intention of an egregor is to self-perpetuate. So it imbues everyone with the thoughts of everyone and puts a spin on it. If you follow the rules of the egregor, it will take your energy. Thank you very much. If you fight against the egregor, i.e. if you rebel, if you become a rebellious person, by golly, no way, up yours. You create a tremendous amount of energy, which the egregor takes. Thank you very much. And the egregor notices, in its limited consciousness as a thought form, the more we get the person upset, the more energy is released, and the more energy we get. It functions very much like your own negative ego. The more you're angry, the more you're frustrated and irritable, the more you're scared and panicky, your ego will feed on your own energy and grow bigger. Your self-importance will grow bigger. So, essentially, what the egregor is trying to do to get food is to get you wrapped up in your ego. Because the ego, when you have a desire to be important and be valuable and significant, and you get wrapped up in this whole thing about, I've got to be important, I've got to be smart, I've got to be important, I've got to be good, I've got to be loved, I've got to be appreciated, I've got to be listened to, I've got to, and all the focus on self, the ego starts getting revved up. And when you find that the egregor doesn't really want to listen to you, you can get angry, you can get rebellious, the egregor will come and suck your energy. It builds the egregor. It builds the power of the egregor. That's why rebellion doesn't work per se, because it's building the power of that which you're rebelling against. It's taking your energy. Now, if you and a good proportion of people in your culture start to rebel together, then you form a new meme within the egregor. And if you have a successful meme, you can make a huge difference in the rest of the thinking of everyone else. Doesn't have to be a lot of people, but enough to create your own ideology or your own philosophy. And you can promote it through fighting, through rebelling, through marketing and media, however you see fit, and you will get adherence. And as soon as you get adherence, your energy will grow, as long as you stay in your meme. And so sometimes there are grassroots rebellions that actually change in a really huge way what goes on in a government. But as an individual, what are you going to do? As an individual, you want to receive love. You want to be cared for. You want to feel safe and secure. You want to have the power to make choices about your life, and you want your reality the way you want it. You're only one person. You're not really enough to make a meme. And you keep getting your energy sucked by the egregor. Notice how many people go to a job and they're too worn out after they're done with their job, fulfilling their duties and their obligations, to be able to put together their own creative thing to dream their own wonderful thing that they want to do. Their energy's been removed. So what we want to share with you is how to take your energy back from the egregor, how to keep the egregors from sucking you dry, how to build your energy and your power, and how to tap into the extraordinary resources and dimensional opportunities beyond the reach of the group mind to have your own personal vision. The first thing is that you got to get off the game board with the egregor. The egregor is playing a game with you. Let's see how much energy of yours I can suck to build me, to make me more. The memes that you participate in, let's see how much energy we can get from you to build the memes, to get more adherence to our philosophy. Now, humans do want belonging. They want to be part of things. And that's how this whole thing got started in the first place. If you were solitary creatures, you wouldn't have these. But it is part of your evolution. You decided to create with other humans societies. You move beyond tribal structures, the tribal mind, to the rule of law. We've talked about this before, where you have courts and law and a whole structure of how to create rules and regulations, and how to determine duties and obligations, and how to determine punishment of those who do not adhere. You're moving into the rule of love, a greater dimension. And so in order for you to break free, for order for you to be free, you have to know a little something about love. Love does not seek to control. Love accepts what is and then sees the beauty and the majesty of what can be. When you want to get off the playing field, when you want to get out of the grip of the egregor, you have to keep the egregor off your energy. You have to pull your energy away. But you must do it with love. You cannot do it with rebellion. If you don't play the egregor's game, the egregor, as if it were a being, notices, hey, I'm not getting any energy from this person. It's as if the egregor has only one other choice of what to do with you. And that is, interestingly enough, to give you energy. The egregor says, well, let's make this one ours. This will be our golden child. This will be our, here is someone who can lead. Let's create a meme around you. So the egregor, if you don't play the game, will come to you rather than pull energy from you to it. The egregor is dispassionate. It doesn't really care. All it wants is energy. But if you take your power. If you can love without rebellion and step outside, you too can become the celebrated one. And you will receive energy. You will also have access to creativity outside the box. Your life will begin to unfold according to your choices. The trickiest danger of the egregor is that it makes you feel that you don't really have but one choice to make in a circumstance. Or amongst the choices that of possibilities of what you can do, that they're limited. And most people cannot think outside the box. Here's a dilemma. What am I going to do? The egregor says, here's what you do. Here's your possibilities. When you're off the game board, you come to a dilemma. If you hold your resonance without charge, very calmly, in a very relaxed way, not resisting, not fighting, you make your choice based on what you want, it'll be beyond, it can be anyway, beyond the options and offerings of the egregor. And this puts you on the map as far as the egregor is concerned. It's like, oh, here is a leader, an independent thinker. So first of all, look at it this way. Where in your life are you in resistance to the egregor? Any resistance that you make, any resentfulness of the limitations, any frustration about the limitations of your life, the egregor will greedily eat that up, and you won't have that much energy. So where do you resist? Where do you judge your culture? What people in your culture do you have a tendency to judge? Be honest with yourself here. You may want to love everyone, but you do perceive that loving everyone coming from the little an image of the flower child of, you know, the 60s with a little flower and a peace sign on the forehead, you know. And you think, oh, how sweet and idealistic, but it doesn't go anywhere. That's not what you're to be. Basically, you just drop all the charge and issue you have with the group mind. You just drop it. See, if you were to fight it, you resist it, that means you have to bring up energy. That means your ego gets involved. That means it's like, I am important and what I think is important and I've got to make it go my way. Control. That's if you fight. And if you just passively resist, some of you are absolute kings and queens of passive resistance. Basically, you appear kind of inert. And you just kind of go along in routine, doing what you have to do. Those of you who are stuck in duties, endless duties and obligations, have gotten stuck in your group mind, that in the attempt to become a good person, the group mind, of course, saying this is what you're supposed to be, you're supposed to be a good person, you end up sacrificing much of your life, or waiting, or postponing, or waiting for something to change. The resistor, the passive resistor, waits for things to change. But you know, if you're not changing, Is there anything that's going to change? No, the forms may shift a little bit here and there, but the circumstances, the energies, continuously will take you back to the same place over and over. So what would it be if you could just take your energy calmly, easily, lovingly, and just drop it out of the consensus of the mainstream? Just let it go. No more resistance. No more push and drive. No more slave driver. Just what would it happen if you just let it go? And what would happen if you lived your life gently, easily, in a sense, in a relaxed, flowing kind of way, realizing that one way or another you're safe, you can trust that your reality will unfold in ways that will assist you, that you're seeing that you are the decider, that your principles of life, that which you think is important to live by, your principles, are yours. Not necessarily picked up because the Gregor says it's good to be a good person, a giving, selfless person. It's good to be productive and achieve a lot of good things. It's good to do a lot of good things for your culture. We're not saying don't do good things for your culture, but first, do a good thing for you. Not for your ego, not for your self-importance or significance, but simply because you choose to be free. You're not fighting anything, no resistance. Now, when we've talked about this before, we had a question, very good question. It's like, well, if you are not judging anything in your society, if you're not resisting, if you're not fighting anything, then the bad guys are just going to take over and you're just going to be lying down passively and they're going to walk all over you. How are good things going to happen in your culture? How are good things going to change if you don't get out there and fight? And so we say, well, look, you can tell and you can see those elements of your culture who are not loving, who are not considerate and respectful of others, who want to, for the sake of adherence, for money and power, to take energy from everybody, to control, to dominate, to manipulate. Yeah, there are these people with that intention. So what do you do about those? When you get off the game board and you don't have judgment against those, you will see very clearly what needs to be done in your culture. The thoughts, the ideas that could neutralize them. You just don't do it as a resistor. You don't do it as a fighter. This is not about fighting. You see, as we mentioned before, reality likes to take the easy way. But it will reflect to you whatever it is you choose to do. If you choose to resist and fight and go to passive resistance and stay limp and kind of tired all the time, it says, fine, we'll give you a reality that will do that. It will maintain that for you. But if you want to make a difference in the world, first make that difference in you. Because if you can step outside the box with love and harmony, You see, you are valuable. You are significant. It's a given. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to get other people to see it. You don't have to persuade other people to believe in you if you will believe in you. If you will allow yourself to step into the middle of this chaos of thought and broadcast your love and your light and your ideas, they will be picked up by others ready as well. They'll be picked up all around the world on a network of light beings like yourself. There are others thinking these thoughts. You and they will create a new resonance. Maybe a new meme. A light meme. Maybe you'll start a new group mind, going even further, a new philosophy for all. And a great deal of why you're here on the planet at this time has been for you to do just that, to dream the oneness dream, the next level of evolution on the planet where all are part of the spiritual family. And not a dysfunctional family, a spiritual family. This does not keep you from being what the channel likes to call a mouse warrior. You know, someone who will send emails, objection emails to your congress people, contact people, share information with them of what they can do to bring about some change. Or to give money to a worthy cause, or to fundraise for it. Yes, go ahead and do those actions, but do them in the state of being where you're not angry, but you are radiating your love, your truth. If you can practice doing this, you'll start to find yourself outside the box. If you can accept that it's safe to be there and don't get freaked out and hold your love, hold your resonance. If you get freaked out, you're putting out a lot of energy and the egregor will say, oh, great, snapping it right up. You cannot create a lot of disturbance, negative or positive. If you're like totally excited, totally passionate, totally committed, yeah, 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 rah, yeah, rah, yeah, rah, yeah, rah, Gregor will come and suck you. What you want to do is to hold that middle path, a path of focus, of love, of ease, the easy way. It's easy. You don't think it is because the egregor tells you everything is hard. You have to work hard. And as soon as you work hard, the egregor goes, thank you very much. The egregor wants you to work hard. The harder you work, the more energy it gets. The more dedication to your duties and obligations. The more of your energy it has access to. But if you do things from love, calmly, lovingly, and easily, you're aligning with the highest principles of nature, which is elegance. And you can make a difference. Now, you may say, wait a minute, Calexis, I'm not here to make a difference. I'm not here to get a big message out and to have followers and thousands of people and hundreds. I'm not here to make a big splash and to change the world. I just want to have a nice life myself. I want to do my meditational practices. I want to do my spiritual connections. I want to be happy and in bliss. I'm just here to get rid of my karma. Well, of course, karma is an egregor meme. If you fall into the idea of karma, then you fall into a whole philosophy around it. You get stuck in a particular trap around it. And of course, if you notice, the karma trap is a little circle. Okay? What goes around comes around. You never get out of it. So what you want to do is to free yourself from all of those limiting concepts. You will find yourself outside the group mind. You'll find yourself in a strange space. And the group mind will send you two guardians of the gate. Hey, you slipped out. You escaped. And one will come with a threat of fear to you. A total anxiety, panic idea. You're going to be so alone. You're going to be isolated, rejected. You're a failure. You're out here all alone, 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 alone. And you go, I'm all alone. Oh my, there's no one out here to love me. I'm all alone. And all scared, the egregor will take some energy and you'll run scurrying back into your little box. Slam the door. Oh, okay. Okay, I'm back with everybody else now. That's one of the guardians. The other guardian is rage. It's the one that says you have no power out here. All the power is there, and it's going to be taken away from you. You have no power. You can't do anything. You're ineffectual, and you have been neutralized. And all the feelings of powerlessness, all the times you've been angry when you were a child and couldn't do anything about it, when you felt that your punishment was unfair, unjust, you know how children can be about that. But, no. That terrible twos, that rage, the powerless anger, powerless fear, powerless emotional state will just wave over you. And feeling powerless, you will fear you have absolutely no choices. You can make no choices. You're angry. Damn it. I want to live my life. Stop interfering with me. Damn it. And the consensus, the egregor says, thank you. That was good. That was juicy. Mm-hmm. And you'll fight. Lose your energy. And collapse. Back into the box. And you'll wake up with no energy and, okay, I guess I gotta go back to routines. I have to survive. So the egregor knows how to protect its boundaries. So you need to know that when you get outside your egregor, when you step outside of group mind, you know that these energies are coming. You know the egregor is coming to capture you and bring you back and take your energy. What can you do? Here is where you will trust the divine plan that you and your crew put together. You are on an evolutionary journey of awakening. You deliberately chose to forget who you were, who you are, and you're reawakening and remembering who you are. It is a process that has been going on all your life. And everything that you have needed to know, all the tools that you need, all the opportunities, all the circumstances that you need to deal with your life, come to you. Some of them feel painful when they happen. Some of them are glorious. But you are being protected. You are being nurtured. You are being taken care of. If you'll but just become aware. If you can start to just choose to be aware. Choose to trust the divine plan. Choose to feel safe and secure in who you are. Knowing that those unseen friends of yours on the other side, your mentors, masters, teachers, guides, helpers, assistants, spiritual family members, brothers, sisters, on the other side, will never abandon you. Yeah, the egregor can threaten all it wants, but it's just trying to get a rise out of you. But if you trust, but if you allow yourself to be safe and secure in the divine that is you, trusting in it, no matter even if you don't feel that you have good connections with the other side, if you begin to trust it, the other side will respond and say, look, this person is relying on us. We need to take care of this person. We need to be there. We need to reinforce. Your trust will be reinforced. Your sense of safety and security will be reinforced. Your sense of love will then be able to gently, easily radiate. When you trust, there's a peace, there's a calm. When you feel safe and secure, a peace, a calm. You can allow that peace and calm as an easy, natural energy of nature to continue. You can put love into it. You can send love to others. Be a broadcaster. You don't have to work at broadcasting. Some people go like, pump it out. Here you go. Send the love out. Push it out. No pushing. Just receive it and let it flow unimpeded. Let yourself receive the divine flow that is yours and let it radiate out unimpeded. No resistance. And you will find that being outside the box and not giving all your energy to the egregor turns to you and says, you have something, something interesting, something good. Here, let me give you some energy. It's really wild how that works. Now, there's some people for whom the egregor has given celebrity and leadership status who blow it because they can't continue the safety and the trust. They can't continue the ease. It becomes hard and they become fraught with the terror and the rage and sabotage themselves and slam themselves back into the box. Sometimes it's really obvious with people who are a high in political and spiritual standing to fall. But it's an ego thing. The higher the ego, as they say, the higher you go, the greater the fall. It's really about ego. That the bigger your ego, if you're trying to be important and prove that you're worth the energy of your egregor, the more likely you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. And people love celebrity dramas. Have you noticed? What he did to her and what she said and what he said and Oh my gosh, magazines fill the stands at the checkout counter at the supermarkets, filled with gossip. You know, the egregor just loves that stuff. There's several things the egregors really get a tremendous amount of energy from. And egregors get a tremendous amount of energies from war. And then it's like younger brother, sports, competitions, adversarial situations. Okay. When you have a stadium of cheering fans, can you imagine how much energy the egregor's getting? It's building the egregor, building till some of these sports teams become almost mystical in their status. People are adherents. They are devotees of a sports team, and they will paint themselves up to the colors of their sports team. They will wear the gear of their sports team. They will worship them. They'll every little piece, a little information about every member of the team. That's the egregor at its best, at its peak. Yes! Religious wars are particularly exciting for the egregor. Because you got like several different memes clashing, you know? It gets this meme, this religion and that religion crashing. You get this society and that society judging each other and hating each other. Oh boy, that's really good. Then you got some terrorists blowing some things up. Oh gosh, that's great. Creates all sorts of panic and fear. Oh, yum, yum. Let's just eat that up. And then we'll have some people going out and doing violence. Wow. Egregor is thrilled. And it is, of course, you've noticed how repelled you are sometimes by these group mind things. Like, no, I'm not the type of person who's going to go to a game. I'm not going to be devoted to a sports team and go and holler, oh, that's what everybody else does. War is bad. What people are doing is bad. They're bad people. Let's go and destroy them. No. The egregor is wanting you to do that. You won't get anywhere. So let us just reiterate. Here is the program. First of all, you drop your energy out of the egregor. You just stop the game. And you do it by choice. Two, by doing that, you release all the judgment and all the adversarial energy you have and drop your ego stuff out so that you can then begin to love and step into the rule of love within you. You live your life according to you. Yes, you're still going to have duties and obligations, and you need to make those conscious choice. Because as long as you resist, as long as you do something because you have to grumble, the egregor will get you. If something doesn't go your way, and you fret and you fume and you storm about and swear, the egregor is taking your energy. So the second step is to how to be easy in your energy. Easy loving. When you do that, you end up outside the egregor. So the third step is to trust. You are safe. You are secure. And that's where also you can choose a belief that your reality will support you, even if it has not looked like it has done so up to that point. You will choose to trust. You will call in your spiritual helpers, the non-physical, to be with you gently, easily. You can call in the forces of nature to be with you in this no man's land. And then fourth, as the egregor begins to give you energy, Then you radiate your message, your truth, your vision. Easily, flowingly, effortlessly through you into your world. Grounded in the knowing of who you are. More and more. Awakening more and more. Recognizing your spiritual journey of all that cycle of birth and death, all that karma stuff. You're outside of it. It's coming to a close. You're coming to the place of choice whether you're going to return or go on to home. You've broken free of the trap. Be prepared for success. Because there's no more resistance. If you're not resisting, their resistance of you doesn't go anywhere. There's nothing. It takes two to fight. It takes two. And if one does not fight, but love, and just be easy, gentle, relaxed, and flowing, then the egregor will give you energy and success will come to you. You will have opportunities so phenomenal, so beautiful, that you would never have gotten before. You will think of things and ideas and possibilities you never could have thought of before. You can step into a greater sense of creativity. And you can imagine and dream for the world. And linked with your network around the world, creating a new egregor, at least a new meme. But a meme, a light meme, a meme that is not there destructive. It's up to you. You are more powerful than you have any idea. And in your awakening, you want to identify with your future rather than the past where you were asleep. It is your time to wake up, step outside. And what you'll find is a success will come to you. Love will come to you. You will not be alone. Don't let the egregor threaten you with loneliness. You are not alone. Well, you can be physically alone, but spiritually you're not. You will never be lonely. Do not let yourself fall for that. Do not let yourself fall for loneliness, depression, which is rage that you feel powerless about expressing. Don't let yourself fall for that. The egregor's taking your energy, sucking it up. You can make the difference. You can step free. You'll be amazed at how much more energy you'll have. And the actions that you take, easy actions, without hardship and struggle, can be so much more rewarding. You're not here to be the good person, sacrificial lamb. You're not here to achieve all sorts of great things and be God's gift to humanity. It's an ego position. You're not here to prove that you're worth something. Let all that go. You already are. Worth everything. And your egregor wants to give you success.